listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Recently, a denominational leader said to me that the best thing the church could do to handle the challenges of this cultural moment would be to, quote, stay in its lane. After all, the so-called culture wars have been grueling, he said, and the church is primarily called to spread the gospel. Now, I think I know what he meant. There's certainly truth to the idea that Christians often overemphasize politics. However, telling the church to just stay in our lane and out of politics is an equally unhelpful answer. First, the stay-in-your-lane mandate is typically only applied to the unpopular issues, you know, like abortion, marriage and family, religious freedom. No one ever tells the church to stay in its lane and not fight against sex trafficking, or to no longer dig wells for communities without fresh water, or to cease sustainable economic development in impoverished nations. Historically, the church's shining moments, in fact, have come often in direct conflict with dominant cultural belief or practice. The Roman world, for example, needed Christians to take in abandoned children and oppose those gladiatorial games precisely because of all the pressure they faced to conform. When we engage with culturally acceptable causes, but we stay in our lane on the unpopular ones, we're not only failing the test of courage, but also the test of integrity. We're exposed as a church that loves the approval of our neighbors more than we love them. Also, every law and state action reflects a worldview and are based on consequential assumptions about human value, the nature and purpose of sex, what and how children should be raised, the scope of the state, and a million other things. The question is never whether politics will operate from worldview assumptions, but which worldview it will operate from. Systems that value work, protect human life, and allow for dissenting voices instead of silencing voices, they will always be superior to those systems that don't. Therefore, Christians should engage the political lane as a way to love God and to love our neighbor. However, the biggest issue with this whole stay-in-your-lane approach to the church is the question of what exactly the Christian lane is in the first place. Dutch statesman and theologian Abraham Kuyper put it best, I think, when he said, quote, "There's not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry out, 'Mine.'" In other words, because the head of the church is Christ, and Christ is Lord of everything, Christ's lane is the entire cosmos. The scriptures are crystal clear on this. Colossians 1 states that Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and that God was pleased through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What this means is that it all belongs to him. So Christian musicians should make music as if God's sitting next to them on the piano bench. Christian bakers should make sourdough as if God's going to have a slice. Christian citizens of a democratic republic should strive with humility and wisdom to influence and to govern and to live together as if Christ is Lord over all of it, because he is. We contend for the well-being of our neighbors, even when it's unpopular. The question isn't whether Christians should engage politically, but whether we will do it well. So Christian, definitely, stay in your lane. Do the good works which God has ordained for us to do from the foundation of the world. Just know that our lane encompasses every conceivable aspect of human existence. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Breakpoint is made possible by generous gifts from listeners like you. You can support this daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth on our website, breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus says, "I am come that you might have life abundantly." Do you have that kind of life? You see, death, the sting is taken away. Man, we've defeated death. It is an anachronism, an era in respect to time. It is over, it is done with, and now he gives us abundant life, the full joy to live in this life. He gives us the power of life. And then finally, in Jesus Christ, we look forward to a great homecoming. People always ask, will I know my loved ones in heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, are you going to know less in heaven than you know now?
The truth is, death has lost all its power in Jesus. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message called Death is Not the End and encourages you to spend your days building a testimony that honors Christ. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want you to know that the end of The Winning Walk's financial year is just around the corner. And we're excited to tell you that this month, a $50,000 challenge grant will take any gift you give twice as far to reach even more people with the good news of Jesus Christ in the months ahead through The Winning Walk. This is a great opportunity for you to share proven truth with more people around the world through your generosity. So call today to take your gift further with the $50,000 challenge. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Death is Not the End.
We have someone who just in the last few months came back from Damascus, Syria, and told the story of how we've been sending thousands of copies of the New Testament into Damascus. And now they begin printing their own copies. They told the story of how they were passing out New Testaments and a mosque dismissed, and the imam came out, and they were frightened, not knowing how they would respond. And the man went up to him, one of our pastors, and said, sir, I want to give you a copy of the New Testament. And the imam took it and said, thank you, and asked all of his congregation to come out and also receive a free copy of the New Testament. You say, well, what is that about? They had no background for the gospel, no background in exactly who Jesus was. But I can tell you today, from the witness of this man and others in Syria in the middle of a dramatic revolution, that many, many, many people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ by just reading the New Testament. Well, how does that happen? I can tell you how it happens. You see, we have ears and minds that are tuned to God. We're all made in the image of God. But we've marred that image, and someone who's never even heard the good news of what God has done for man in Jesus Christ, because there is that image of God, of the Father there, even simply reading the New Testament story, uninitiated, unexplained, it rings true to their ear, and they hear it and understand it as a message from the Father God. And that's the miracle of it. But we can lose that ear. Or the Bible is cold and stale to us, and we can be spiritually dead. You can read about it in many passages. One of the most dramatic areas to read about it, I think, is found in Romans chapter number 1. Listen, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, we suppress God's way, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. In other words, there is a built-inness, call it conscious, call it a voice, call it inclination. There is a built-in to every person that which is evident, that there is a God, there's something about God. It's built in. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, through creation, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, for they became futile, silly, in their own appreciation, their own perceptions, their own ideas, their own foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over, see the spiritual death, to the lust in their hearts, to impurity, to their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. When that happens, we just slowly, sometimes dramatically, move off and we become spiritually dead and insensitive, and we no longer can hear the still small voice of the Lord. There is a spiritual death. Also, there is an eternal death that we can read about also in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 6, just flip, turn to the right a little bit. Chapter 6, verse 19, this is eternal death. There's physical death, spiritual death. We don't hear, we don't understand. Then we read in this sixth chapter, Paul, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you are presenting your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your bodies as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free to regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you derived from the thing of which you are now ashamed? Look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's it. That's eternal death. If sin is not dealt with in your life and my life, we have decided on eternal death. We're going to study, we're going to deal with heaven later on in our study in these weeks to come. We're going to deal with hell, in case some of you are interested in that. We're going to deal with the Antichrist. We'll talk about the rapture of the church. We'll talk about judgment. We'll deal with all the things that deal with last things. But here we have to begin and understand that in the Bible there is physical death, there is spiritual death, and then there is eternal death. God, will discover, doesn't send anybody to hell. Somebody says, I don't know why God, a loving God, would send anybody. He doesn't send anybody to hell. We'll talk about that. Now, a lot of people decide to go. They do. They make that choice. God doesn't send them. But there is an eternal death. Also, we see what the resurrection of Jesus Christ did. What Jesus does in the life of a Christian. Let me tell you what he does. We discover that the power of death is defeated. Death becomes powerless. I want you to see how that operates here in one of the great chapters in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think the greatest chapter in the Bible is Romans 8. But let me tell you, just right there with it is 1 Corinthians 15. I challenge you, I challenge anybody to read 1 Corinthians 15 as it talks about heaven and our resurrected body and the afterlife. You read that for a couple of weeks and you'll be trying to catch a plane to heaven in the morning. I'm telling you, it is a fabulous word of assurance and gives us unbelievable confidence after this physical life we now live. And in this thing, we read about how all of a sudden the power is taken out of death. Look at verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does this say? You know how Paul really stated this? He looked at death. He said, death, death, where is your victory? He said, death, come here. Where is your sting? He said, the sting of death is sin. And he said, Jesus Christ has taken care of that. You don't have any entree to me. You have no place in my life because the sin is dead. You see what happened, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus Christ came and lived the life that you and I should have lived, and he died the death that you and I should have died, and it was the death of Jesus Christ that eliminated death for you and eliminated death for me. Death killed death because the death of Jesus, the sting of sin, was totally obliterated and washed away. And therefore, Paul says, death is swallowed up in victory. And that is the victory we experience in this life, because eternity begins today for all of us who are in Christ. Therefore, death has lost all of its power in Jesus. Also in Jesus, life has been given power. Look at it in just the last verse. There are a zillion places in the scripture that teaches it. Look at verse 18. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not vain in the Lord. John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that you might have life abundantly. Do you have that kind of life? You see, death, the sting is taken away. Man, we've defeated death. It is an anachronism, an era in respect to time. It is over, it is done with, and now he gives us abundant life, the full joy to live in this life. He gives us the power of life. And then finally, in Jesus Christ, we look forward to a great homecoming. People always ask, will I know my loved ones in heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, are you going to know less in heaven than you know now? We will know as we have been known. We see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. So we look forward to that great homecoming in heaven when we'll be gathered to our Heavenly Father. So we know that death is yesterday and life is today and forever, and therefore we are confident in our graduation from this earth. And people run around and say, I'm sorry you lost your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. People said, I'm sorry you lost those two friends. I say it over and over and over and over again. They aren't lost. I know exactly where they are. That's because the sting, the sin, has been eliminated by Christ, his death. And that's why I know that it is victory in Jesus Christ that we experience. In South Philadelphia, there is a great church, a great, great church. And in that church, they just specialize in young people. And they seek to build into their young people Jesus Christ. And they seek to build in their young people a clean life, following Christ, knowing that if they will stay sexually clean and they will finish high school and stay close to Jesus, their life has tremendous problems, even though they come from a very impoverished area of Philadelphia. And someone was there and said that when the seniors graduate from all the high schools, that they have a service on Sunday morning. And they bring in all the seniors in cap and gown, and they let every senior stand up and tell the worshiping congregation what they're going to do now that they've graduated. And he said, one stood up and said, I've always wanted to be a fireman. And I've been accepted to school, and I'm going to be in training, and one day I'm going to be a part of Philadelphia's finest. I'm going to be a fireman in this city. And said all the congregation would call the name of this young man, and they would applaud and say, stay close to Jesus, and we love you, and we're proud of you. Said he'd just glow and smile as he would go down. Said another graduate would come up and say, now that I'm graduating from high school, God bless me with a good mind. I've been accepted to Princeton, and I'm going into pre-law at Princeton University. he said the congregation erupted. They applauded and they said, God bless you. They called the name of this teenager and they just commended them and said, we'll pray for you. And he sat down. Then a young lady stood up and said, I have been accepted to Harvard. I'm going into pre-med. And she told about her story and all the congregation applauded and clapped and promised their prayers and said, stay close to Jesus. Said he went on and on, and some were going to the military and said, I've been enlisted in the military. I'm going to get my education. I hope someday to be an officer in the United States Army. And said the place went crazy. He said this went on until all the graduate had finished relating to their worshiping family what they were going to do with their life. Said then the pastor stood up. He said, I was told that he delivered the same sermon every year after the graduates told their story. And so he stood up, and this is what he said. He looked at those graduates, and he says, young men and young women, one day you're going to die. He said, they're going to dig a hole and put you in that hole and throw dirt on your face. He said, then we're going to come back here and have potato salad. And he said, when you were born, you cried, but everybody else laughed. He said, but when you die, if you have kept your testimony, he said, everybody will cry and you will laugh. But he said, if you have lost your testimony for Christ when you die, everybody will laugh and you will have to cry. He said, what I want you to do is from now until your dying day, I want you to emphasize not your title, but your testimony. He said, the important thing in your life is not your title, but your testimony. And then he went on like this. He said, let me tell you something. Pharaoh had a title, but Moses had a testimony. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar had a title, but I can tell you that in that title of Nebuchadnezzar, it was Daniel who had the testimony. He said, Jezebel had a title. It was Elijah who had the testimony. And he said, I want to tell you, Herod had the title, but John the Baptist had the testimony. He said, Nero had the title, but Paul had the testimony. He said, Pilate had the title, but he said, my sweet, sweet Jesus had the testimony and the title that he was the Son of the living God. I want to say something straight and personal to everybody here. One day, you are going to die unless Jesus comes first and brings down the curtain of history, which we'll talk about next week. One day, you're going to die. Well, you think it's way off there? Not necessarily so. But one day, you're going to die, and they're going to dig a hole. And they're going to put you in that hole, and they're going to put dirt over your face. And we're going to come back here to the church, and sometime we have potato salad. Usually we just have cookies. And everybody who comes back here, who knew you, believed in you, cared about you, and loved you enough to be there for your graduation service, everybody will come back here and we'll eat cookies. And they will know whether you live for a title or a testimony.
Death is not the end. You've just heard the conclusion to this powerful message by Dr. Ed Young, and it's great to have him in the studio today. Dr. Young, could you tell us about when you committed your life to Christ and became confident that you would go to heaven when you died?
I committed my life to Christ when I was in vacation Bible school in my home church, First Baptist Church of Laurel, Mississippi, when I was about 11 years of age. But I can't say that I thought a lot about the future at that moment. I just understood with the faith of 11-year-old what it meant to be a Christian, and I publicly profess my faith in the Lord. I was baptized in my home church. But I can say in the process of the years, my confidence in the future continued to grow. It's not that I was just going straight upward in my spiritual maturity, but in my walk with the Lord, as I have learned to walk closer and closer to Him, and as I have experienced the reality of that walk, this gives me confidence that grows day by day by day. And this is the great blessing and one of the great byproducts of being with the Lord. Heaven doesn't begin when we die, it begins today. And when we begin to listen to Him and talk with Him and spend time with Him, it's a beautiful thing to know that we are in His hands, and that's all anybody ever needs to know.
Well, Dr. Young, take a moment and, if you would, say a prayer for any listener that they could repeat if they want to be confident of their eternal home in heaven with Christ.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for meeting me right now, right where I am. And I confess any garbage in my life to You. And all known sin in my life, I now turn away from. I repent. I move in the opposite direction. And right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I'm not sure if I've done it before, but right now, I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life. I give to You, O Lord Jesus, my old life. Thank You for giving to me new life. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, doesn't have to be verbatim, but a simple prayer that you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that He entered time and history and died so that you and I might be liberated from our sin, so that we might have life abundantly. That's why He came. That's why He died. And if you invited Him in your life, Christ is in you. The Bible says that's the hope, that's the confidence of glory. And therefore, if you prayed that prayer and you're in Christ, relax. He's got you in His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. And eternity begins right now.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. Before we let you go, we want to remind you that this month marks the end of the Winning Walk's financial year, and your support is vital to enable the Winning Walk to share God's Word with millions online and through broadcasts like this one. And remember, your gift today goes twice as far thanks to a $50,000 challenge grant, meaning whatever you give will go even further. So call today to give toward the challenge and share the good news of Jesus with more hungry hearts around the world. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young addresses a topic you'll definitely want answers on, the second coming of Christ.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255-9255. 350-350-9255.
Shout because we know He lives and we
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
One thing
FM.
God has established to make contact with what He has already decreed.
God knows the answer to our prayers before we pray them. That's why Dr. Tony Evans says prayer isn't about informing God, but rather about forming us.
Where there is no prayer, there is no contact. You do not get what God has already declared for you to have.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When you order something online, you often get to choose how fast you want it delivered. Today, Dr. Evans explains why that isn't the case when we pray. Let's join him as he talks about how to wait for God's perfect timing.
All of us live in houses that have been wired for electricity. Electricity is the power that is conveyed through the wires so that we enjoy the privileges of being blessed. Through the appliances we use, the lights we turn off and on, through the heat, the stove or the refrigerator or the freezer, or the myriad of other things that electricity provides the power for us to do. Few of us could conceive life without electricity, because we know electricity gives us power. But that power that electricity provides needs a point of contact. The provision is there, electricity, but the point of contact is necessary to get what electricity is there to offer. There must be a point of contact between you and God, me and God, in order to experience His power and supernatural provision. There must be a point of contact. God has provided what His will has decreed, but without a point of contact, you don't experience what the provision is. If you don't turn on the light switch, it's not a power problem. It's not a provision problem. It's a contact problem. In other words, you're not making contact with the provision, so you're not experiencing the benefits of the power. There are many people today who believe in God's power but not seeing God's provision because they don't understand His place of contact. We're not making contact, and so we think there is no power, or we think that there is no provision, when the reality is there is no contact. And the point of contact between your need and God's provision is prayer. Prayer is the one thing God has established to make contact with what He has already decreed. Where there is no prayer, there is no contact, and where there is no contact, you do not get what God has already declared for you to have, known as His will. For many people, prayer is like the national anthem before a football game. It gets it started, but has absolutely nothing to do with what's happening on the field. You do it, but it doesn't seem to matter that you do it, and it doesn't seem to work. To understand why prayer is your point of contact, you have to understand what God decreed when He made man. When God made Adam and Eve, He gave three words that would forever control how He would interact with history. He said, "Let them rule." In other words, God says, "I'm going to do what I do in the physical, visible realm from my invisible spiritual realm, and I'm going to do it through men. And the way men make contact with me is through prayer." So all through the Bible, you will see the word prayer in some form or fashion. When men make contact with God, and God then acts. Let me say it another way. Prayer is the mechanism God has decreed that is absolutely necessary for him to release what he intends. Prayer does not make God do what he hadn't planned to do. But what it does is release God to do what he has decreed to do. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, you don't have to turn there, but God says, before you call, I will answer. Before you call, I will answer. In other words, the answer has already been made. It's just waiting on the call. God has already decreed his will for you. He's already decreed what he's going to do. And he's decreed it before you've ever talked to him about it. So it's like somebody putting a deposit in your bank, but telling you, you must withdraw it. It's sitting there, but it could sit there for the rest of your life if there's no withdrawal from it. God has decreed the end from the beginning. He has decreed the totality of your life and all that he plans to do, and it's already been decreed before you call on it. But the assumption is you will call on it. And when you call on it, that's what he has decreed, he then dispenses. If it is within his will. So let's get this straight. Prayer activates the decree and the will of God. It doesn't make it happen, it just grabs it because it has already been decreed to happen. Many of us have DirecTV in our home. And if you have DirecTV, that means you have a receiver box. That receiver box does not create the programming. The programming has already been established on the multiplicity of channels that are available through DirecTV. The receiver doesn't make the programs up. But what it does when you turn it on is grab something you cannot see and put it on the screen so you now can see it. The receiver doesn't create it, but it grabs it when it is turned on so that now you can see a picture of what you already have paid for and that has been provided through the satellite that DirecTV depends on in order to show you something on your screen. Prayer is the mechanism that grabs something out of the invisible realm so you can see it at work in the visible physical realm. So God has decreed for every Christian the sum total of your life, what he will do and what he won't do and when he plans to do it, but it's with a condition. And the condition is prayer. So with that understanding in mind as a backdrop, with the understanding that your job is to distribute what God makes to happen from the invisible spiritual to the visible physical, like when Jesus prayed when he was seeking to feed 5,000 people with fish and barley loaves, he prayed, all of a sudden Moby Dick is laying on the beach, and he gets his disciples to distribute it. When God answers, you become the distribution point for his supernatural activity. You are the point of contact, and the switch is flipped with prayer. Now, with that understanding, let's go to the day's story in the life of Elijah. Let me start off by reading two verses. Chapter 17, verse 1, 1 Kings. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." So Elijah tells Ahab, it's not going to rain. Chapter 18, verse 1. And now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So in chapter 17, verse 1, he says, it's not going to rain. In chapter 18, verse 1, he says, it's getting ready to rain. In chapter 17, verse 1, God says, I'm going to close heaven. In chapter 18, verse 1, God says, I'm going to open heaven. And both of those statements were made by the same person. So before we go any further, let me explain why this rain thing is there in the first place. Ahab didn't make this up. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 17, this is what God said. God says, if you go worship idols, I'm gonna close down heaven so it won't rain. If you choose other gods, I'm gonna no longer bless your crops. I'm no longer gonna bless your planting. I'm no longer gonna bless your fruit bearing, and the sky is gonna dry up if you go after other gods. But he says, if you turn away from other gods, then I will open up heaven and I will let rain again fall on the earth. So the whole reason Elijah is praying is based on something God had said years early to Moses. So Elijah reaches back to what God had already said, and by the leading of God, applies it many years later to the situation we find him in what we've gone over so far in 1 Kings 17 and 18. In other words, his prayer was tied to God's word. Or let me say it another way. If you don't know God's word, you don't know how to pray. Because God's word must be the basis or the foundation of your request. The reason why many of us pray so generally, Lord bless me, Lord help me, which means you've said absolutely nothing, you've been so vague, is because you don't have a point of contact that you know about, that you can point to in scripture, that becomes the basis of your request. So you don't even know whether that's something God is interested in doing, apart from some vague general request that you say around grace. Lord, bless this food in my body in Jesus' name, amen. Okay? The reason why much prayer is vague, and you'll see in a moment why that affects the supernatural, is because it is untied to something God has said. And remember, God said this years before Elijah ever used it, but it was applicable to Elijah's situation. And there are things in scripture that are applicable to your scenario that you are seeking a miracle for that you'll never see rain on because you don't know how to link. I don't know how to link what I'm asking for to what God has declared. So he starts off by referencing something God has previously declared.
We'll find out what happens next when Dr. Evans continues this message from his current series, Elijah. This six-part audio collection focuses on the lessons we're able to learn from one of the Bible's greatest prophets about waiting for God's provision, understanding his perfect timing, living a life that matters, overcoming fear and discouragement, strengthening our faith and commitment, and so much more. Get a copy of this powerful message series and the in-depth DVD Bible study kit that goes along with it. We're offering them both for a limited time as our gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution. And we're even making digital downloads available immediately so you can begin digging deep into these lessons right away. So don't miss out. Visit us today at tonyevans.org, make your donation, and receive your copies of the Elijah series digitally or on CD, along with the DVD Bible study kit. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222, and one of our resource team members will help you. Well, Tony will come back with more of today's message right after this. If you're like most Christians, there are people in your life who know you but may not know Jesus. You really want to do something about that, but don't feel equipped to share your faith effectively. In other words, maybe if you knew more, you could do more. Well, that's where the Tony Evans Training Center comes in. It's an online Bible school with classes that'll take you deep into the most important core concepts of the faith. You can start with our free introductory course on evangelism, then move on to subjects like spiritual warfare, marriage building, maturing in the faith, and many more. The content is challenging, but you can move through it at your own pace anytime you're online. There's also lots of custom content from Tony and an online forum where you can get your specific questions answered. Go to tonyevans.org and follow the link to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone.
So having prayed biblically, we now are going to see something. In James chapter 5, Let me read, beginning with verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now watch this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. So he's taking us back to Kings. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Stay with me here. God said, it's not going to rain. God said, it's now going to rain. There's a gap of 3.5 years between when he said no rain because of their idolatry and when it was going to rain. So watch this. The change with the rain only came when the idolatry was addressed. And as long as there was idolatry, God would not shift from no rain to rain. So we have people who come to church all the time looking for their blessing who don't want to be messed with by their God. And so they wonder why it won't rain. Because God's not going to rain on you so you can share it with an idol. Okay? So that means anything you get, you got to get on your own independently of God, because he's not going to help you become an idolater. But I want you to notice something else. It says he prayed that it would not rain, and then he prayed that it would rain. But wait a minute. God had already said it's not going to rain. God then said it is going to rain. So if God already said it, how come he had to pray about it? Because what God has decreed needs a point of contact before it is delivered. So even though God decreed rain, start and stop, he didn't let it rain until Elijah made it a prayer matter. In other words, he was going to stop the rain when he prayed. He was going to start the rain when he prayed. So God's decree had to wait on somebody to suck it down. So God has decreed certain things for your life, his will. And it's sitting up there to be delivered at the proper time when the point of contact is made. So you could have 25 years of something God is holding on to, but he hasn't been free to release it because he's not yet seen the point of contact. Because even though God declared it, it didn't happen until Elijah called for it. And he gives you the secret of prayer that produces the supernatural. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we not only know that Elijah prayed, we now also know how Elijah prayed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And James is writing to New Testament Christians. James is writing to you and me. But he uses an Old Testament saint to explain to New Testament Christians how to get heaven to deliver rain. How to get heaven to open up to deliver the will of God, which is varying from person to person in its application. So that means if you and I understand effectual fervent prayer as illustrated by James in the life of Elijah, you and I can affect heaven opening, heaven closing. No rain, rain. We can affect it just like Elijah affected it. And let me tell you why, and then I'll tell you how. You know why? Because James says that Elijah was of like nature as us. In other words, he wasn't Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, or X-Man. He wasn't some superhero. He's just a man. So he wants you to know Elijah has nothing on you. He was flesh and blood, just like you. But what he had was an effectual, fervent, righteous prayer. And that was the prayer that closed heaven up, that opened heaven up. So if you're here today looking for a miracle that will open up heaven, shut heaven, that is bring the supernatural into history based on the will of God, tied to his word, You must be a effectual, fervent, righteous prayer. Question is, what does that look like? All right. Verse 41. It says, I had the sound of the roar of a heavy storm. Elijah says, I hear a thunderstorm. But wait a minute. In the verses to follow, there is no storm yet. In fact, there's not even a cloud in the sky. In fact, nobody hears this but Elijah, because Elijah has to tell Ahab that there is a sound of a storm, because Ahab can't hear. Your proximity to God will determine what you hear. If you are not close to God, you won't hear the will of God applied to you. You'll be like Ahab. What you talking about? Because you don't hear anything. One of our problems is we want to hear from God while keeping our distance from God. No. Elijah could hear the will of God, and he could hear the timing of God's will. See, he already knew what the word of God said, Deuteronomy 11. But the question on the floor is, how do I know that word in Deuteronomy is applicable to me right now? That has to do with spiritual distance. When you drive your car a long way away, you're going to lose clarity of hearing in the radio station you're listening to. The further you go, the more static the station will become, until the station disappears altogether because your distance is too far to pick up the station. But when you come back, you're going to be able to hear because you're getting closer to the signal. You cannot keep a long distance relationship with God and still hear the sound of the thunder that nobody else can hear. That's why prayer is relational communication with God, not ritual communication with God. Ritual communication is, I'm praying because I'm supposed to. It's grace, so I'm supposed to pray. I'm going to bed, even though I'm falling asleep in the middle of my prayer and don't even know what I said. Well, I know what I said because it's the same thing I say every night. So it's ritual prayer. No, this must be relational prayer, because I have made God my only God, no more idols. I have drawn close to Him, so His Holy Spirit is able to speak to my human spirit about the application of the scripture which is written in the Word of God. So the scripture said it's going to rain, but how does He know when it's going to rain? He heard the sound. He heard something other folk couldn't hear because he was in a proximity that Ahab didn't have. And so he could pick up things that other folk couldn't pick up because of his proximity to the Lord. What made his proximity so close? It said Elijah was a righteous man. He lived his life to please the Lord. You cannot hear the sound of God's will and live a lifestyle that makes him sad, that makes him unhappy, that is not seeking to please him. You can't hear his voice and be in a long distance relationship, all right? So if you want to experience supernatural power in prayer, the proximity must be close. It cannot be far away, so you can hear the sound of the particular application of scripture in your personal experience.
In a moment, I'll tell you what Dr. Evans has coming up for us in part two of this lesson on praying and waiting for God's timing. First, though, be sure to get in touch to request his current teaching series, Elijah. As I mentioned earlier, you can get the CDs or digital downloads along with the companion DVD Bible study kit, including exclusive content from Tony as our thank you gift for your contribution. But don't forget, this offer is only available for a few more days. So make a point of visiting us today at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will build on what he shared with us today and tell us how to take our prayers to the next level, a level that's much more effective but much less comfortable. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Somebody need to hear this. Come on, y'all. It's almost over.
Don't let it take your joy away.
Heaven's gonna answer your call. I know you're hungry.
Hold on.
I know you're praying.
Hold on.
And you've been crying.
Hold on.
But just make it to the morning.
Take the night train, oh God.
Don't let your joy be.
Take it away.
Lately you've been taking some trouble on. Been praying, but you feel like it's taking longer. You've planned your seeds, now wait for your harvest.
Believe that it's on its way.
Maybe you feel like you're lost, like a child who has wandered off. In the midst of your storm, you will find your coming on. Can I get a witness in here?